Look at the book of Luke today, Luke chapter 13, and this is one of those verses. It's one simple verse, but it just shows why it's so always just so exciting to read the Word of God. I love it when you come across verses that, this verse in Luke 13, verse number 23, it's one of those verses that you just, you know, you kind of read over. It's part of a story that leads into a story, and you just kind of read over and you look at that one verse and you don't think much of it. In fact, it's one of those verses that probably you never gave a second thought to. And it's probably something you never even stopped to even think about. But that's what makes the Bible so outstanding. There's so many truths and so many things. And it's great when the Holy Spirit just shows you something, reveals something to you in the simplest things in the Word. Here's what it says in Luke 13, 23. I'll read verse 22 because it kind of starts the section, but focus on verse 23. Verse 22 says, "And he went through the cities and the villages, teaching and journeying towards Jerusalem." Verse number 23. "Then said one unto him, Lord, are there a few that are going to be saved? And he said unto them," and that goes in verse 24, "Strive to enter into the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able." Verse 23 just is amazing because here's Jesus. He's just going from town to town. Now, he's on his way to Jerusalem. And as he's on his way to Jerusalem, he's stopping off at towns and villages along the way. He's giving the word. He's doing miracles. Amazing things are happening. And more people are coming because they're hearing what Jesus is doing. And so they're coming from great distances. And so here he comes to this one town, this one village on his way. And all it says is, "And he went through the cities and the villages, teaching and journeying towards Jerusalem." It doesn't even say what town it is, but he comes to this one town and then said unto him, and then said one unto him, "Lord, are there few that be saved?" This is an amazing thing to me. I mean, if you stop and think about it, for someone in this town to ask that question, boy, that just shows incredible insight. It shows incredible understanding, amazing insight, spiritual insight, to even ask the question, how many are going to be saved? Are there few that are going to be saved? Let me know about salvation. To even ask the question was an incredible spiritual insight. Because it said that this is just an average person, an average individual that understood the spiritual things and understood who this was that was coming and speaking. Now, as you go through the Gospels, and certainly as you read through the chapters before Luke 13, you certainly see that most of the religious leaders did not see and recognize that he was the Messiah. Even the very disciples understood that he was Messiah, but they really didn't comprehend all that it meant. They were still having hard times themselves just kind of grabbing and comprehending who Jesus Christ was as the Messiah, as the Son of God, and what all that meant. They're having a hard time understanding and kind of putting these things together themselves, and they're with him every day for 3 years. It's even more significant when you realize that if you just go back, now this is Luke 13, verse 23. If you just go back to verse number 10 in Luke 13, you see the story of a woman who was healed. And because she was healed, the ruler of the synagogue comes out and just berates Jesus for healing on the Sabbath. He laid hands on her. It says in verse number 13, he laid hands on her and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day. And he said to the people, "There are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed and not on the Sabbath day." Verse number 15, the Lord answered and said unto him, "Thou hypocrite, doth not each of you on the Sabbath loose his own ox and donkey from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?" So here we have a ruler of a synagogue demonstrating the same lack of spiritual understanding that we see time and time again throughout the Gospels. A ruler of the synagogue who didn't understand it, we talked about this last week, who didn't understand the Sabbath and didn't understand the significance of what the Sabbath was, didn't understand the whole premise that God had. He didn't understand the Sabbath as God laid it out in the Old Testament, and he surely didn't understand the Sabbath as it was being revealed, what that Sabbath meant, and that Sabbath rest, what it meant in the New Testament with Jesus being right there. Here's the ruler of the synagogue, one that is supposed to be a religious leader, one who is supposed to be leading and teaching the people, leading them towards God. Here, this individual, just verses before this, did not understand the things of God and did not understand who Jesus was, did not understand why Jesus had come, and could not comprehend the things that Jesus was doing, such as healing this woman. The religious leaders could not understand it. But here, Jesus is coming into a town, going from town to town on his way to Jerusalem, on his way to his destiny, on his way to what he knew would be the laying down of his life, the suffering and the agony that he would have to endure, leading up to and on the cross. And then, as we've said before, the most hideous suffering that he had to do, well beyond the suffering on the cross and death, was to carry the sins, because where sin is, God cannot be. And so, for the first time ever, you and I understand time, and as a beginning, we have a lot of arguments, you know, between the secular world and the Christian world of where the universe began and when time began and how many years old our universe is, how many years old our earth is. We're very concerned with time. There is no limits on time. But if you put in the context of our understanding of time from the beginning of the universe, and God is well beyond time. But even with our limited understanding of things and trying to conceptualize a beginning of time, from that moment until this moment that he died on the cross, Jesus had never been separated from God the Father. That was the worst thing that he had to suffer, was carrying your sins and my sins, which meant that he was separated from God the Father. So this is Jesus on his way to Jerusalem. And Jesus knows that as he's heading to Jerusalem, this is the reason that he's heading to Jerusalem. He knows he's going to be crucified. He knows that he's going to be sacrificed for the sins of all these people, of all the people yet to come, of you and I, of every person that have been before, that sin is now being covered or going to be covered by his sacrifice. So it says in verse 22, and he went through cities and villages, teaching and journeying towards Jerusalem. I love the fact that his eye is on the target. His eye is on what he knows he has to do. And he knows he's going to face the suffering, the cross, death, victory, and resurrection. He knows that's what's ahead of him, and he's heading towards that. That's his mark. And as he's going from town to town, he's just teaching and sharing the word. And here's this man, this average, everyday Joe. He's not a ruler of the synagogue. He's not a Pharisee or a Sadducee. He's not a religious leader. Remember, they didn't have the internet, so you couldn't do studying. They didn't have radio and television, so you could listen to different preachers share the word. They didn't have the churches that you and I have, where the word is always out there. They had the teachings in the synagogue. But you know what? How often were these people out in the outskirts? They didn't have Bibles. They couldn't go to the local Christian bookstore and pick up the Old Testament and pick up, I mean, they limited in what they knew. And here is this average Joe, untrained. He hears Jesus speaking and he understands. He gets it. He understands who he is. And he asked that deep spiritual question, Jesus, are there a few that will be saved? He's understanding. He understands who Jesus is. He understands salvation is on the way. He wants to know about it. How did he come to understand this? Simply by listening to the words that Jesus taught as Jesus came into the city. You know why this verse is so exciting to me? Because it just shows me that the average Joe, the average person, you and I can have incredible spiritual insights and awareness. The disciples had a hard time understanding this. Certainly the religious leaders did. You don't have to be. Now listen, you personally do not have to be a Bible scholar, one who's been trained and studied under great men and women of God. You don't have to have gone through seminary. Yeah, credit to you if you did. You know, the more that you learn, the more you apply, wonderful. But there's a lot of you out there that feel like, because I know, I've talked to many people who feel like they just can't understand the word. How many times have I heard in my life, through my ministry, how many times have I heard people say, I just try, but I read the word, and I just don't get it. I can't understand it. And we think to ourselves that it's impossible for us, unless somebody should teach us, it's impossible for us to understand the word and to get revelation. This verse tells me something different, and it should be an encouragement to you. Listen, many of you don't have time, the resources, or even the inclination to go to seminary to be taught how to understand the word. Here's the great thing. Paul didn't go to seminary. In fact, Paul removed himself from everyone else. He didn't want to be influenced by Peter and James and John and the others. He separated himself for years. I think it was 3 years. He separated himself so that he would learn what God had to share with him from the Holy Spirit directly. His teacher was the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something. This is Holy Spirit revelation. This is this young man. Well, I don't know if he's young. This man who stopped Jesus and said, hey, are few going to be saved? Had that great revelation, that spiritual understanding. He understood what was going on, just as you and I can. We don't have to be trained. We don't have to be studying in seminaries, being trained by great men and women of God to understand the deepest things of God. Anyone, you and I, anyone can understand and get revelation into the very heart and mind of the Creator. You can get revelation from this word. You can get revelation from the very mind of the Creator of the universe. You can understand and know the thoughts of God. He'll reveal them to you through the word. I know what you're saying. How is that going to happen? The same way it did for this person. He heard the teaching of Jesus. And as Jesus came to his town, and in that word was the power of light and the power of life to understand the things of God. He just heard the word and listened. He heard the word and listened. And that word was light and revelation. You and I have that very same word. And by taking time to read the word, you and I too can understand the things that puzzle the very Bible experts of today. You can understand them. I'm telling you, you can. I know you're saying to yourself, no, that's not possible. I'm telling you, you can. That's why God gave us this word, so that each one of us individually, as we spent the time, would have revelation. But here's the thing. When you spend time in the word, you've got to expect, go into it with a sense of expectancy. Expect that God is going to reveal truths, strength, encouragement, and life to you. Rather than going in and thinking, oh, every time I read this, I don't get anything about it. I'm just doing this because I have to, because I never get anything out of it. If you go into it with that attitude, you're not even going to be open to hear what the Holy Spirit says. Have a sense of expectancy and excitement that when you open up the Word of God and you start reading it, you'll be just like this man. Because he heard the Word. He heard Jesus. He heard the Word when the Word came to his town. He listened and he heard, and he had revelation and understanding. When you read the Word, expect there to be revelation. Anticipate that it's going to happen. And it's the word of life. It will bring revelation. You will understand things that you didn't understand before and you thought you never could on your own. The word is given for us to have understanding and relationship with him. And you know something else? As great as the revelation was for this man, it's going to be even better for you and I, because you and I now have the Holy Spirit. You and I now have the Holy Spirit that reveals things, that lives and dwells in us because we are children of God. If you've accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit is in you, and he will reveal those things to you. You see this man in Luke 13, verse number 23? Do you think it's exciting that here's just an average Joe who heard the word of God and understood, had great spiritual insight, even beyond the religious leaders of the time? That should be exciting to you, because that can be you and I, and it should be you and I. Let's open up the word of God today with a sense of expectation and anticipation. And the Holy Spirit will show you and reveal you to you things you've never seen before. And let me tell you, it's exciting. And it's for you.